Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Therefore, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Next slide. In addition to all, In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Unfortunately, the loudspeakers downstairs aren't working. You want to just go and plug and unplug the network? Most recently, we've been talking about the need for courage in our walk with the Lord. And since I don't have a lot of time, I'll very quickly review this. If you're born again, even if you're not born again, for that matter, God calls you on a journey that you might know him. The purpose of our lives isn't to be an engineer, though that is a good purpose. It isn't to be an engineer, it isn't to be a scientist, it isn't to be a carpenter, it isn't to be a housewife. Those are the things that are in our life. The purpose of our life is that you might know the one who made you. And not know in the sense of have an understanding about the things of God. We're not talking about a theological understanding merely, but a personal, intimate knowledge of him that causes you to put your trust in him. You know, where we have trouble believing God, really, at the end of the day, the problem is we don't really think he'll come through. And the more you and I know him, past all of our intellectual understandings and theories, to a genuine heart knowing of him, we believe him. And that is what pleases God. So God has called you on a journey, and we've recognized that along the way, you need courage for that journey. Because that journey does not happen unopposed. We considered already the fact that, you know, going way back, I don't remember when I did this. Remember that little boat that we had that I gave out? And I said, the purpose of our life is to steer your boat from where you are to the port called Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. And what we are learning is how to navigate our boat through the kinds of storms that come up and the circumstances and situations. By the way, if you don't have a boat, ask me and I'll get you one. The thing to see about that is, you know, we are not just bumbling along, or at least we're not meant to be just bumbling along with whatever circumstance and situation happens. But rather, we need to see and understand, God has called me. There is a way through this. And the important thing is that my heart is kept in a place where I continually am involved with God. It is so easy in the circumstances that we're involved with to get caught up in those circumstances, to get caught up in the trouble or the disappointment or the discouragement and lose sight of, actually, what I'm really called to is a deeper relationship with God, and this is just a scheme for my adversary, the distraction, to be distracted, like to get out of sync with what God has called me to. I'm not saying that every circumstance and situation is of the devil, but that the devil always uses every circumstance and situation to beat on you. There is not a single person in this room who has not been disappointed in God. I should say, if there is, please come and see me. But I suspect that every one of us in our walks with God have come to a place where we were expecting something to happen and it didn't. Okay? Now, we might think that we have the answer for that, but in actual fact, we don't know very much about how things work. And it is not difficult, given our pride and our presumption, to think, see, God did not come through. there the devil takes advantage. He might not pounce on you immediately, but it's like he takes advantage of it to use down the road, as it says when Jesus was tempted, that the devil left him until an opportune time. And that's what the devil always looks for, opportune times. And what he is after above all is ultimately to persuade you to stop walking with God. The journey's not worth it. That, at the end of the day, is what the devil is after. And that's why things like discouragement and disappointments have so much, why we need to deal with them deliberately. Because if you don't deal deliberately with places where you've been disappointed, places where you've been discouraged, like slow poison, it will ultimately stop you in your journey. So, we've considered this whole need to take courage. You know, the fact of the matter is, on this journey, you need courage. We consider Joshua, right? Very briefly. The man who saw spectacular things, right? I don't know about you, but I have the thought that seeing a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day leading you wherever you go, that might sort of register in your memory as this is not the everyday kind of thing. God is with us. Well, to this man who saw miracles, astonishing things, before he led the people of Israel into the promised land, God told him, only be very bold and courageous. So we don't got to act like there's something wrong with us if we get discouraged. It is not surprising, given the world that we live in. But what we do also need to do is act on what God said and take courage. The very fact that God says take courage implies that it's available to us, but we must take it. The problem with discouragements and disappointments isn't just that they happen, but that we let them have a place that they don't deserve. Those are the places where we have to deliberately extinguish those things, those voices, by taking up what God has said. And so my whole time talking to you about taking courage in the last few weeks has really been about this, to get it in your mind that you and I need to take courage. We're not supermen or women. You know, there are times when everything is just going fine in the Lord, it seems, and nothing is wrong, and every prayer is answered like within seconds, and people are just falling down at your feet saying, how can I get saved? And there are other times when it isn't that you got up on the wrong side of bed. You shouldn't have got out of bed at all. Everything is just a drag. Everything is just so difficult. Nothing seems to be going right. In actual fact, I'm usually in more trouble when everything is going really well. Because when things are tough, I know to turn to the Lord and say, I need help. Please help me. When things are not so tough, I think, hey, I got this handled. I got this handled. We need to learn to take courage. There's nothing wrong if you are a person who doesn't wake up and is immediately excited about all the things of God. God has not called us to spiritual hallucinations. No, that's not the word. What am I looking for? Hallucinogens. He's not looking. Christians are not about taking spiritual drugs that we just always smile and act like we don't have a real life. That is not what God is after. What God is after is in real life, you continually meeting with the provision of God. And part of that is courage. And I'll end here, and the worship team can already go up to the front there. When you look at Ephesians chapter 6, it echoes what we've considered all along. Courage is in the Lord. When God tells us to take courage, he is talking about things like bring back to mind what God is like. Put it in your mouth, first in your heart and in your mouth. Do you remember Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget none of his benefits. Why tell us that? Because there is the temptation. In the midst of our troubles, you forget what God is like and what he can do and are so involved and steeped in trouble juice that you forget God's benefits. And you and I are being taught, here is my way. Here is my way. You know, my little girl gets away with things right now that she is not going to get away with a year from now. Right? This is on recording, and you guys can help me with it. You guys can help me with her. You know, she gets away with things that are not inappropriate for a child her age, but would be completely inappropriate for a child twice her age or three times her age, Well, in case she's one, so 2, 3, 4, 5 is easy to do. And God is likewise with us. There is a time in our walk with God where we're sort of sheltered from the responsibility of walking with God, i.e., take courage. You need to learn to actually take courage, to build yourself up. And you don't build yourself up by finding strength in yourself. You find strength in the Lord. We looked at David, who encouraged himself, strengthened himself in the Lord. And here in Ephesians, whether you noticed or not, Ephesians chapter 6, this famous passage that has to do with spiritual warfare, really isn't about the individual pieces of armor. What it's really about is God. Every one of those pieces of armor is actually an aspect of who God is to you. He is our righteousness, isn't he? He is everything that we need. And so what we are being told is, look, you don't got to act surprised that there's a battle going on. There is. But you need to stand. And here's how you stand. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Bring back to mind and speak to yourself. The Lord is my righteousness. If the Lord is for me, who is against me? That isn't just for informational purposes. Why record a psalm? You know, the whole idea behind a song is that you sing it, right? And I don't know whether you've noticed it, but you can more easily remember things that are sung than are simply said. David wrote a psalm, i.e. a song that says that God is for me, right? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That implies that he continually came back to that song. It was something that needed to be sung over and over again because that's what it's like down here. We walk with God. We are not involved with a fairy tale. We walk with God that has practical instruction, and that involves taking courage. Please don't be a person who's waiting for God to encourage you, because you will not find a scripture that says God encouraged so-and-so. But rather, they took courage, they acted on what God had said, and God came and helped them. Right? The initiative, if you'd like, is God has set the table, but he won't chew the food for you. God has set the table, now you take and eat. And so I want to encourage you as we end here, take courage. What your understanding of what God has done may be completely different than my understanding, but whatever little bit you have, use it so that you are encouraged, so that you don't give up on the journey before the time. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to know his will and walk intimately with him. And he is taking you on a journey for that. Let your heart be strengthened and encouraged by the things that God has said and done so that you don't give up before the time. Amen. Let's sing a chorus.